الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We have completed the portion. The author, he had mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to kaba'ir al-qulub, with regards to the major sins, the major sins of the heart. And now the author, he moves to the next topic, and that is clearly that which is most important after the affair of the heart, and is likewise directly related, and that is the affair of the tongue, and that is the affair of the tongue. So the author, he says, "Babu al-tahdhir min sharr al-lisan," the chapter with regards to the warning, al-tahdhir, the warning from the evil and the ills of the tongue, the evil of the tongue. It has preceded, we have discussed the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا يستقيم إيمان العبد حتى يستقيم قلبه, that the faith of a person, the iman of a slave, it will not be correct and upright, it will not be solid and sound and good until his heart is upright. Until his heart is upright. وَلَا يَسْتَقِيمُ قَلْبُهُ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ لِسَانُهُ, and his heart will not be upright, steadfast and proper and good until his tongue is upright. لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ إِمَانُ الْعَبْدِ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ قَلْبُهُ وَلَا يَسْتَقِيمُ قَلْبُهُ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ لِسَانُهُ, that these affairs, they are directly related. Iman, sincere faith, and the heart and the tongue. And al-istiqama, it lies here. Al-istiqama tu ala deen ilahi azza wa jal, steadfastness and being upright upon obedience, upon the religion of Allah azza wa jal, it is in these affairs here. The establishment of faith by way of rectifying the heart, and likewise in turn rectifying and checking the tongue. And if these affairs are kept in check, then the rest of the actions will fall in line properly. Then the rest of the line, the rest of the actions will fall in line properly. And we have seen before likewise the mention that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that إِنَّمَا الْمَرْءُ بِأَصْغَرَيْهِ, that a person, he is held accountable for the two smallest affairs of his body. And that which is the place of regard, and that which is considered, and that which is the place of accountability, are the two smallest parts of his body. إِنَّ الْمَرْءَ بِأَصْغَرَيْهِ بِأَصْغَرَيْهِ أي بِقَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ, in the two smallest portions and organs of his body, meaning by his heart and by his tongue. By his heart and by his tongue. So the affair of the tongue is a very dangerous affair. And for this reason, the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has made this arrangement. After clarifying the major sins with regards to the heart, after clarifying before that, after clarifying the reality of the heart, and that the heart is the focal point, and if the heart is good, the rest of the body is good. And after clarifying these issues and the illnesses of the heart and the major sins of the heart, now he moves on to the next affair. The next affair, and with regards to the importance, that which is next in line in importance and must be shown great concern and care, is the issue of the tongue. So he says, "Babu al-tahdhir min sharri al-lisan," the warning, the chapter with regards to the warning of the evil, the evils of the tongue. That الشر عكس الخير, الشر evil, evil is the opposite of good. So likewise, the tongue, there's khair that can come from the tongue, and the greatest of the khair of the lisan, the best that the tongue can do and pronounce is the shahada in la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. And then after that, the recitation of the book of Allah and the adhkar and the remembrance of Allah and the command of the good that Allah has allowed and ordered and ordained, and the prohibition of the evil that Allah has forbidden and made impermissible, and the likes, and using the tongue in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the limits of the legislation can earn a person a great reward and a high status and rank with Allah Azza wa Jal. But on the other hand, there are evils likewise, and there's shar that can come to the tongue, and there are afat and diseases that can destroy a person's religion, that can destroy a person's religion entirely, from the evils of the tongue and the pronunciation of the tongue and the statements of shirk and calling on the awliya and the graves and those besides Allah. That would erase that statement, la ilaha illallah, in entirety. And it's a statement with the tongue, ya Rasulullah madid al-madid, ya so-and-so al-madid al-madid, calling on them and hoping in them and making dua to them with the tongue. In this manner, this can wipe out the asl of the foundation of the religion entirety and take one out of al-Islam, waliyadu billah. Or a person, he can fall into innovation with his tongue. He can make supplications that are innovated, and salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that are innovated and that are not permissible. And he can use his tongue in a foul manner, and innovations, introducing new affairs in the religion. All of this is from the evils of the tongue. And likewise, the tongue can commit sins and actions of disobedience. And this is the issue that the author, he's referring to now. The actions of disobedience that are from the major sins that are committed with the tongue. So a person, he can gain rank with Allah Azza wa Jalla and status with his tongue. And likewise, he can be cast far from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he can earn the anger of his Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala with his tongue. And that which comes from the tongue is only dishing out and clarifying and making clear the reality of the heart. The reality of the heart. For this reason, it has been narrated from Yahya ibn Mu'adh, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 258. He says, Al-qulubu kal-qudur. Al-qulubu kal-qudur fis-sudur. Taghli bima fiha. He said, the hearts, they're like pots in the chest. Any pots, cooking pots. And the qudur is the plural of qidr. Qidr is the big pot that you cook with. He said that the hearts, al-qulubu kal-qudur fi sudur, taghli bima fiha, that they boil with what is in them. Like the pots, when of a person, he's cooking food and he will set it there and it will simmer and it will boil. And the scent will come from the pot. And likewise, one, he can put his spoon in there and he can dish it out and taste it. He can taste that which is in the pot. So he's saying the hearts and the chest, they're like the pots, yani on the stove. They're boiling with what is in them. And he's carrying that which is in the pots. He said, وَمَغَارِفُهَا أَلْسِنَتُهَا. And the ladles or the spoons of the pots, they're the tongues. Yani the example here. So we have pots that are full of food, and you dish out what is in the pot with a nice sized spoon, with a good spoon. You dish out what is in the pot, and people are able to taste and find the taste of that food. Likewise, the hearts are like that. And the spoons here, they are the tongues. So the tongues, they dish out what is in the hearts. He said, fantadhir rajul. So wait for a man, hatta yatakallam, until he speaks. And if you want to really know a person, if you really want to know somebody, maybe you see him outwardly, he looks in a particular manner. If you want to know who he is truly, wait till he speaks. If you want to know who he is truly, wait till he speaks. This is what he says. He said, فَإِنَّ لِسَانَهُ يَغْتَرِفُ لَكَ مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ مَنْ بَيْنِ حُلُّ وَحَامِضُ وَعَذْبٍ وَأُجَاجٍ. Now he said, because verily his tongue is going to dish out for you what is in his heart, whether it's sweet or whether it's bitter, or whether it's pure or whether it's mixed, yani salty. And the adhb is the pure water, and the ujaj is the salty water. And he's going to dish it out for you. If that's what's in his heart, this is what's going to come off of his tongue. He says, يُخْبِرُكَ عَنْ طَعْمِ قَلْبِهِ اِكْتِرَافُ لِسَانِهِ. Yani that which his tongue dishes out is informing you of the taste of his heart. The taste of his heart. Yani the taste that he has in his heart. That which is filled in his heart. And the fact that what his tongue dishes out, this is giving you that taste and letting you know clearly what is inside of his heart, because the heart is the affair of the unseen. But how can you know what is in the heart of somebody? Like he said, انتظر الرجل حتى يتكلم. Wait for him. Wait for him to speak. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned in his commentary upon this this narration here, رحمه ta'ala, he said, meaning, كما تطعم بلسانك طعم ما في القدور من الطعام فتدرك العلم بحقيقته كذلك تطعم ما في قلب الرجل من لسانه فتذوق ما في قلبه من لسانه كما تذوق ما في القدر بلسانك بلسانك. He said, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, just as you taste with your tongue the taste of the food that is in the pots, and so at this time you understand the reality of what's in those pots, yani the reality of the food. And maybe you see the food, but you don't know how truly well it is, or good it is, or salty it is, or bitter it is, or sweet it is, or delicious it is, until you actually taste it. At this time, you taste it, you know the reality of that food. You know the reality of that food. So likewise, a person, he will let you taste what is in his heart by his tongue. By his tongue. His tongue dishes out what is in his heart, so now you can taste what is in his heart. Yani by what his tongue dishes out, the same way that you taste what is in the pot with your tongue whenever you taste the food. Whenever you taste the food. So this is a great affair, that a person, he is expressing himself. And this is what the tongue does, it expresses oneself. يُعَبِّرُ عَمَّا فِي النَّفْسِ, that it expresses itself and clarifies what is inside of the heart and what is inside of the soul. So if the heart is clean and the heart is good and the heart is solid and sound, then the speech will be likewise upright and beautiful and beneficial, and it will be good. And if the heart is corrupted, then likewise accordingly the corruption will come to the tongue. The corruption will come to the tongue, and a person, he will speak evil, and he will speak in a foul manner, according to the amount his heart is corrupted. According to the amount his heart is corrupted. If you really want to know somebody, then you speak with them and talk with them. You speak with them and you talk with them, especially catching them in certain gatherings, and they will expose themselves and let you know their reality. And the people in this life, they're tried and tested. And الرجال يعرفون بالمواقف. And the men, they're known by the stances that they take. By the stances that they take. Somebody who has a strong heart, he's not afraid to tell somebody that's backbiting, brother, don't do that. That's backbiting when it's sitting in a gathering and a man has mentioned it in a foul manner and backbiting begins. Somebody with a strong deen, he would mention that to them. He would tell them, no, Allah, he doesn't like this. We should not say these words here. We should change the subject like this. He no matter who it was, whether if it was his own family, his wife or his children, or his brother in blood, or his brother in the deen, he will not be afraid, like whether he will say this. This backbiting is not allowed. He will not allow that. But if the heart is weak, then the tongue will say that. And if those who are around them have weak hearts, then they'll comply and go along with that. And they'll be cowards, and they'll be afraid to say something. To say something. We understand the relationship between the chapters before and now. This is the issue here. So a believer, he strives to have a strong heart and a sound heart, and to fear Allah and not the people, and likewise to rectify the affair of his tongue. So the first issue, the author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and in the chapter with regards to the warning from the evils of the tongue and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. He mentioned the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is well known in Surah Al-Furqan, clarifying the attributes of the true slaves of Ar-Rahman, the true servants and righteous and pious and beloved slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're mentioned in these verses, and their attributes are mentioned in detail, and from them Allah began. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. And the slaves of Ar-Rahman, there are those who walk on the earth, who walk upon the earth, hawna. Yani hawna, the people of knowledge, they mentioned, bis-sakinati wal-waqar. Bis-sakinati wal-waqar. They walk on the earth in dignity. And likewise, it's been narrated bit-tawadu' wa bit-ta'a wa bit-afaf, that they walk on the earth in this manner, in obedience and in humbleness and in humility and in chastity. And they're not arrogant and they're not boastful and they're not moving in a reckless manner. And they're not moving haughtily through the earth with arrogance. Rather, they're humble. This is the first trait in this manner like this. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. This is the shahid and the point. And whenever the ignorant people speak to them, they say سَلَامًا. They say سَلَامًا. And whenever the ignorant people speak to them in an ignorant manner, then they say سَلَامًا. The people of knowledge, they mentioned, and it doesn't mean they give them salam. It means that they respond to them in a manner that they themselves are safe. They themselves are safe from falling into sin. يعني يقولون لهم كلاما يسلمون به من الإثم. They say قالوا سلاما يعني قولا سالما من الإثم. They say words that they respond to the ignorance of the ignorant one whenever he speaks in ignorance. They say words that they themselves are safe from ignorance and safe from blame and safe from sin. So they will respond to them يعني in a manner with dignity and with honor, and the foul actions and words of the ignorant and the foolish, whenever they speak, will not rile them up and cause them to act like them. Rather, they will respond in a noble manner. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he mentioned, أي حلماء إن جهل عليهم لم يجهلوا. That they are people of forbearance. And there are people of patience and noble manners. And when in juhila alayhim lam yajhalu, and whenever the people act ignorant with them, they do not act ignorant themselves. And this requires self-control. And this requires a strong heart. And this requires sincere faith to not respond to the ignorant in an ignorant manner. And this requires dignity likewise. And this requires honor. And that a person, he will have a strong deen, that he will not pay attention to the ignorant whenever they speak, and he will not respond to them with ignorance in that manner. And whenever they speak foul or they call names, they do not call names back and speak foul back. Rather, they speak with a manner and dignity, and they move around, and they leave the situation, and they leave the person in his ignorance and his affair like this. This is the first case. And he clarifying here the opposite of those who have an evil tongue, and those who have a foul tongue, they have righteous manners, and they have upright speech, and they're not affected by the ignorance. So this is the opposite. Again, clarifying as the methodology of the author in many of these chapters, he'll begin clarifying the opposite of this issue. So the opposite of those people who have a foul tongue and a loose tongue, and they speak in ignorant manners, they're the true slaves of Allah. They're the true slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal, and whenever people speak ignorant to them, they do not respond. They do not respond with ignorance. This is because they have accustomed themselves to good speech. So they are accustomed to this. So even whenever the situation gets hot, even whenever a person, he is acting out of character with them, they have already accustomed their soul to saying that which is good. So therefore, what comes at this time in the hot situation are statements that are good and safe from sin. And if this is the case for a person whenever someone speaks ignorant to them, then how about whenever he is alone and the situation is normal and he has accustomed himself like this? And this is from the signs of the true slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal, that they do not speak foully, not whenever people speak foul with them, and of course not even whenever they're alone. They do not begin the foul speech, and they do not respond with foul speech. They do not begin the foul speech, nor do they respond with the foul speech. Imam al-Shafi, he mentioned about this affair, those famous lines of poetry, يُخَاطِبُنِي الصَّفِيهُ بِكُلِّ قُبْحٍ فَأَقْرَهُ أَنْ أَكُونَ لَهُمْ مُجِيبًا. That the Safi, the ignorant, the foolish person, he speaks to me in the most foulest of manners. So I dislike to even respond to him. يُخَاطِبُنِي السَّفِيهُ بِكُلِّ قُبْحٍ فَأَقْرَهُ أَنْ أَكُونَ لَهُمْ مُجِيبًا يَزِيدُ سَفَاهَةً فَأَزِيدُ حُلْمًا كَعُودٍ زَادُهُ الْإِحْرَاقُ طِيبًا. He said, he increases in his foolishness and I increase in my forbearance. Just like the oud, yani the bukhur and the perfume, it increases in a beautiful scent whenever you put the fire on it. So this is a beautiful example of a righteous person and somebody who has accustomed himself to the noble manners and the lofty etiquettes of al-Islam, and the noble and the lofty manners of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever the situation gets difficult and hot, and whenever people are acting ignorant and speaking foul, this only increases him in beautiful speech, increases him in beautiful manners. And so just as a person, he'll put the flame on the bukhur, and he'll put the flame on the oud, and at this time, this is whenever the beautiful scent arises like this. Likewise, whenever a person of the Sunnah and a person who is steadfast upon the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla is tried by the foolish and the ignorant in their manners, this increases him likewise in his beautiful conduct and his noble and lofty, dignified manners. In his noble, lofty, dignified manners. This requires effort. This requires striving. This requires a strong heart. And this affair is very important. He says, وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Another description of the pious and the righteous. And this is from Surah Al-Qasas. And these verses come in the context mentioning those people of the book from the Jews and the Christians who heard the revelation and they believed in al-Islam and they followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, he mentioned a number of their traits, and from them, any those who were previously from the people of the book and they had accepted al-Islam and become Muslims, from their traits, any the righteous from them, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا لَغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ, and whenever they hear the foul and the vain speech, they turn away from it. They turn away from it, and they have no care or concern for it. And they do not fall into it or delve into it or respond to it. And in the verse continues, وَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ لَا نَبْتَغِي الْجَاهِلِينَ. They say to them, at this time, you have your deeds and I have my deeds. And all of us have a Lord. And in the meaning, all of us, we have a Lord, and all of us will be held accountable for our actions. And from our actions are our speech. Is our speech. You have your deeds and I have my deeds. You have your deeds, we have our deeds. Peace be upon you. And they will leave them. لَا نَبْتَغِي الْجَاهِلِينَ. We do not want to sit around or accompany the people who are ignorant. The people who are ignorant. So this is, again, from the traits of the righteous and from the traits of the beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the traits of the obedient. And likewise, Allah, he mentioned similar like this about Ibad al-Rahman in those verses that he mentioned previously. And we're in the same context. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Those who do not witness zur. Those who do not witness zur. Zur is the false testification. And it's lying and falsehood and evil. The people of knowledge from the Salaf, they mentioned from the meaning of azur here, they do not witness that, the celebrations of falsehood and the celebrations of the Christians and the Jews. They do not witness that. And any lying or falsehood, and from that, those evil celebrations of the Jews and the Christians and the non-Muslims. They do not witness that. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. And whenever they pass by the people in lagu, yani in vowel and foul speech, in vain and foul speech and evil, and corrupt speech, they pass by them in a noble manner. Meaning they do not fall into that. They turn away from that. And they excuse themselves from that. And they move around. And they do not respond to the evil and the wicked with evil and wickedness. And they do not respond to the foolish and the ignorant with foolishness and ignorance. And the author now, he mentions the next verse. And this is a clarification. Why? Because عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ لَهُمْ أُصُولٌ. Lahum usul. They have foundations. The slaves of Ar-Rahman, the true slaves of Ar-Rahman, how did they become true slaves? Because they have foundations. They have fundamentals. They have creed. They have aqidah in their heart that has drawn them near to Allah. They have creed in their heart that is sound and solid and deeply rooted until it has drawn them close to Allah with the beautiful actions. And they know that Allah can hear them, and they know that Allah can see them, and they know that they're going to be held accountable, and they know that they're going to meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, they have traversed upon that path properly. And this is what has caused them to walk on the earth in humbleness and humility, and not to be arrogant and boastful. And this is what has caused them to check their self, even in hot and difficult situations, whenever ignorant people are trying them, because they believe in Allah. Because they believe in Allah. And they believe in the meeting of Allah. He says, "Rahimahullah wa qawlihi ta'ala," and his statement, the Most High, "Ma yalfidhu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid." And the person, he does not pronounce any word. He does not make any pronunciation. He does not say anything. "Ma yalfidhu," a lafz and a talafz, and a takallum, to speak. But he says, "Min qawlin," not one word, nothing. He does not say anything, except there is عَلَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. There is an angel that is ready to write. There is an angel that is ready to write. So here's an indication of an example of those usul. Which usul is this? And how do they become ibad al-Rahman? How do they become our pride and beloved to Allah until Allah has described them to him by his ubudiyyah, by his servitude and worship? Because of these usul. What usul is this now? Al-Imanu bil Malaika. Ahsant. Here, because they believe in angels. From the angels that we believe in, angels that are along with you. Angels that are along with each and every one of us, and they write the deeds. Kiraman katibin. Ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. What's that mean? In English. They know what? They know what you're doing. Ahsanta. They know what you're doing. Again, we have to connect the aqidah to our actions. We have to connect the aqidah to our, we believe in angels. A Muslim, he believes in angels. From the angels that we believe in, we believe in the angels that are scribes and they write the deeds. And they're scribes and they write the deeds. ما يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Not one statement do we make except there's an angel taking that down. He's recording that. Either for you or against you. Either for you or against you. This is something that's very important. Some of the salaf, they used to say, مَنْ عَدَّ كَلَامُهُ مِنْ عَمَرِهِ قَلَّ كَلَامُهُ. That the one who considered his statements, his speech from his actions, meaning the actions that he's recorded, that are recorded and he's held accountable for, then he will speak a little. He will speak little. And so the actions, they'll be weighed on the Day of Judgment. From the actions that are weighed on the Day of Judgment for a person or against a person, the statements that he makes. The statements that he makes. So a believer, he must remember that. A believer, he must remember that. If this foundation is strong in the heart, yani believing in Allah Azza wa Jal and in the last day, and believing along with that what Allah has ordered us and commanded us to believe in, from that angels, and from that angels that write the deeds, and on the last day the deeds are going to be seen, and the records they're going to be spread, and a person is going to take his record of deeds. He's going to take his record of deeds, that record that the angels write in his right hand or his left hand. In his right hand or his left hand. Who do you want to be? This is aqidah. This is aqidah. This is creed. Al-aqidah as-salafiyyah. But the actions have to be connected to that. The actions have to be connected to that. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. فلا يفتنون. This is the test, whether we're going to be tried. Do the people think that they're going to be left to say that we believe and they'll not be tried? Rather, the belief is going to be tested. The belief is going to be tried. The belief is going to be tried. If a person, he stands firm in his belief, that belief will become firm. That belief will become strong. That belief will become rooted. And at that time, the actions will become beautiful. And the manners will become upright. And the deeds will become plentiful. And the khair will become well known. But if that creed is not taken care of, if it's not cultivated properly, it'll weaken. It'll weaken. Something can be pure. Something can be pure, like water, for example. Water can be pure. Water can be filthy first. Then it can be purified and cleaned. Sah? It can be purified and cleaned. But what happens to stagnant water if you leave it too long? It becomes stale. Even maybe something will come to it and corrupt it, and now it can become filthy again. So the water has to stay moving. In order for that, like the running water, it stays clean, it purifies itself. Like this, the faith, likewise, the faith in the heart and the creed in the heart, a person, he can purify his creed, but if he's not careful, it can become corrupted. Those black spots can come onto the heart and it can corrupt it. And the foundation can be there, but it can be weak. The foundation can be there, but it can be weak. So the issue of a tasfiyah wa tarbiyah, this is the case now. This is the case, to purify the creed. And then if you leave it, it will not stay pure. It will become corrupted by sins. It will become corrupted by disobedience. It will become corrupted at this time, and whenever it becomes weaker, now it's even more exposed to the rest of the aspects of the trials and the shubuhat and the likes like this. So therefore the creed, it has to be purified and cleaned. It has to be purified and cleaned. So the issue of tasfiyah requires tarbiyah. The issue of purifying the heart requires cultivation for it to truly be clean and pure. It requires after that to cultivate the heart, to cultivate the creed, to cultivate the belief with application. In this manner, the iman, it grows, and the faith, it grows. It remains and it grows by the application and cultivating the heart upon certain belief until the actions come along with it. And at this time, now the creed is firm. And now the tasfiyah has taken hold. And the purification is strong. And now the cultivation of the fruits and the righteous actions and the good manners, it falls in line. It falls in line in this manner. So this is the issue. Maybe somebody has not realized, but this is what we have been upon. Alhamdulillah, from day one. At-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. At-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. Yani to purify the creed and the deen and the heart and the soul, and to cultivate it upon the good way and the proper way and the upright way. And this is the call of the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. We look at his books. Rahimahullah ta'ala, this one is purifying this aspect, the creed and the belief. This one is getting you away from sins. This one is keeping you safe and clarifying the things that invalidate the deen. He even has other books, Adab al-Mashi, Ila al-Salat, about fiqh and the likes like this. So a person, he purify the religion and cultivate himself upon obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the case. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That no one, he makes one statement, except that there is an angel, a scribe that is ready to write. After this he says, عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا. It's been narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ أَخْرَجَاهُ. That whoever believes in Allah and the last day truly, then let him say that which is good or be silent. Again, connecting the affairs here. The belief in Allah and the last day, the one who truly believes in Allah and the last day, what should he do? He should say that which is good or be silent. He should say that which is good or be silent. This requires for a person to think before he speaks. The only way to apply this narration and the only way to have the application of this hadith is to think before one speaks. And whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then let him say that which is good or be quiet. In order to apply this hadith, one has to think before he speaks. The one who is not accustomed to thinking before he speaks, many times he says that which he regrets. Many times he says that which he regrets. And if he's accustomed himself to just saying the first thing that comes to his mind, or the first thing that crosses his mind, or comes to his heart, and he speaks with that, many times you'll find this type of person, he will regret that which he said, or at least he will find himself in many, many situations, and he will find himself in trouble a lot, and he because of his tongue. But as for the one who thinks before he speaks, he will think, is it good? Is it good? If the statement is good, then he will say it. And he will speak. But if it is not good, or if he has doubts whether it's good or not, then at this time he will not speak. Then he will refrain. And this requires again for him to think first. To think first. This is very important. A believer, he should strive to apply this narration in his house with his wife. Strive to apply this narration in his house with his child. Strive to apply this narration with his brothers, with his family. In the market, everywhere he goes, and he's beginning with the most important places, especially in the home, because this is the place where you are tried the most, and you see the people the most, and you have close contact with the people the most. And so before one says something, he will think, and he will say that which is good, or he will be silent. There's another issue that people of knowledge, they mention with regards to speaking. And even if something is good, sometimes it's not always good to say it. So a person, even if he has the truth with him, or if he has a correct statement with him, or if he has sound knowledge with him, not every situation is beneficial for him to speak and to say that. Rather, every circumstance and situation, it has a proper statement. لَيْسَ كُلُّ مَا يُعْلَمُ يُقَالُ. Not everything that is known should be mentioned. Not everything that is known it should be mentioned, meaning in every circumstance and every situation. Sometimes it's better just to be silent and to wait. وَلِكُلِّ مَقَامٍ مَقَالٍ. And every situation, every circumstance, it has the correct statement. The correct statement. وَلِكُلِّ مَيْدَانٍ رِجَالُهُ. And for every arena there are men, and who speak. So sometimes a person, he will have the truth with him, but if he were to say it, it will harm the people. It will harm the people in a certain circumstance. And he will have some good with him, and he will say something that is correct, but it could bring about a greater harm if he were to say it at that time. Or if the person himself, he were to say it. Maybe a person, he will not accept it from him in a certain situation. Or not accept it from him, but they will accept it from somebody else. Or if he were to wait for that person to calm down, for the circumstances to change, and then mention the same statement. in this manner, like this, then maybe that person would accept it. For example, the wife. Maybe if she's upset, she's not going to listen to the truth that you have with you. And she's not going to take that from you. Or the husband likewise, and from the wife as well. Maybe if he's upset, then maybe he's not going to accept the truth that you have to say. Maybe he's going to reject it or not listen, or will go through his ear. And the likes like this. But if you were to wait until he calmed down, and to wait until the situation changed, or to wait till she calmed down, and the likes like this, and then say that statement of truth, maybe it's more likely and better or probable that she will accept it, or he will accept it. In this manner like this. Yani, or maybe even there's a person that won't accept the truth from you or from me, but he'll accept it from somebody else. So therefore, we know that he needs to hear this statement, but we know also that he, from experience, he doesn't accept it from us. So therefore, we have somebody else tell him. Sometimes the children are like this. Sometimes the children are like this. The children, if you tell them many times, a number of times, one thing, they don't pay attention or benefit from it. But then if they hear that same thing from another person, they hear it and they benefit. And I've seen this in my own children, that we will say to them and say to them and say to them something, and then one of them will hear it from Imam Al-Imam Khalif or from somebody or the brothers, and they'll come and they'll relay the benefit to us. Did you hear? Well, I heard tonight that he said this and he said that, and it actually went into their heart. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't say it. In my heart, I'm saying, SubhanAllah, how many times have I told you this? How many times have I advised? But alhamdulillah, he didn't take it from me, but he took it from somebody else. So what is important, like Imam Shafi'i, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that I wish the people would take the knowledge of Imam Shafi'i, and they don't even know who Imam Shafi'i is. And so it doesn't matter who they accept the truth from, me or you, as long as the sunnah is clarified, as long as the deen reached the heart of the people, and it fills their life, and their home becomes full of the light of faith, and the light of the righteous and good deeds, and they rectify their self and their creed and in their deen. This is what is hope for. So sometimes a person, he won't accept it from you, but he'll accept it from me, and sometimes the vice versa. So all of this requires for a person, yani, to have a good intention first and foremost, and to want good for the people. And this will cause him to reflect over what he's going to say before he says it, and to think in this manner, how can the point get across in the best way? مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him say that which is good, or else he should be silent, or else he should be silent. Yani, so this is a beautiful narration, and is from the narrations of the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. Which number? Huh? Which number? Thirteen is the hadith of Anas. من كان لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That was the hadith of Anas. Number 15. This one is number 15. This one is number 15. That hadith, number 15 here, and the hadith just mentioned number 13, the 40 hadith. The hadith that not one of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. These are two of the four narrations which are the foundations for the noble and good manners. Those hadith had preceded, and that discussion had preceded. And there are four narrations that the noble and good manners with the people revolve around. Two of them have been mentioned now. One of them is this one here. The hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. What is it? مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُدْ. This one is related to the manners of the tongue. The other one that he just mentioned, the hadith number 13 of Anas radiallahu anhu, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. Now one of you truly believes until he loves for a brother what he loves for himself. So that was related to the heart. There were two more narrations. Who remembers those? La taghdab, ahsant. Do not become angry. Do not become angry. To control oneself and his emotions. The other one, min husni Islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la yanihi. MashaAllah. From the good Islam of somebody is that he leaves off that which does not concern him. In any case, here this narration here is from the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. It's number 15. After this, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa lahuma an Sahl ibn Sa'd. رضي الله عنهما مرفوعا ولا هما ولو علم is mentioned here ولا هما and for both of them meaning البخاري and Muslim but this particular narration is only found in البخاري is only found in Bukhari we have seen that this has happened a number of times in this particular work that there's a mistake here with regards to this is what is called the takhrij or azwu al-hadith whenever one will mention where the hadith can be found and wallahu alam maybe the author rahimahullah he's writing from his memory or the likes like this also there was some mistakes with regards to the narrator Abdullah ibn Umar and these are mistakes that occur and this yani, is an indication that yani no matter how great a man he reaches in his knowledge and we know Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala he's a great scholar and great in his knowledge but no man is safe from error and these are minor errors that have the fact that it's he said it's in Bukhari and Muslim and come to find out it's only in Bukhari and these are slips that happen and these are shortcomings that occur and this does not affect his knowledge or his status or his level but the people should take lessons from these affairs and that again the scholars although they are lofty and high in their status they're not safe from error so their statements are measured with the Quran and the Sunnah their statements are measured with the Quran and the Sunnah the Quran and the Sunnah is not measured with the statements of the scholars the proof is the Quran and the Sunnah and as for the statements of the scholars after the companions and the likes then their statements are leading to the proof and showing the proof and clarifying the proof and they are not the proof themselves and this is because they're not safe from error we see here wala huma rather it's really from al-Bukhari and Allah knows best and Sahl ibn Sa'd from the narration of Sahl ibn Sa'd radiyallahu anhu his name is Sahl ibn Sa'd Abu al-Abbas al-Sa'idi al-Khazraji al-Ansari and he is from the last of the companions to die in Al-Madinah. He's from the last of the companions to die in Al-Madinah radiyallahu anhu. Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiyallahu anhu al-Khazraji al-Ansari. From the last of the companions to die in Al-Madinah. He died in the year 91 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Marfu'an. It's narrated on him, Marfu'an. Meaning from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he said, من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين رجليه أضمن له الجنة أضمن له الجنة The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever guarantees for me that which is between his two jawbones and that which is between his two legs, then I guarantee for him al-Jannah. Then I guarantee for him al-Jannah. And this is another amazing narration clarifying the dangers of the tongue and the also the virtue of the tongue and how serious the issue is. And here we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's making a guarantee, and he's making a promise and a guarantee. And this is for a person who fulfills these rights and fulfills these obligations. Man yadhman li ma bayna lahyayhi. Ma bayna lahyayhi, the two jawbones. What's between the two jawbones? The tongue. So this means this has to be checked. The tongue, it has to be checked in order to enter paradise. And this you have to guarantee. Man, whoever guarantees that which between his two jawbones, I guarantee for him paradise. And what does it mean to guarantee the tongue? To guarantee the tongue. Yani to guarantee that you will only use it in that which is allowed. If you guarantee him, meaning that you fulfill the rights of the tongue, and you fulfill the obligations of the tongue. It's an obligation that the tongue, it testifies that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that it testifies that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. This is an obligation of the tongue. Naam, and to say good to the people likewise, and to speak kind to the people, especially the parents from them. These are obligations of the tongue. And then there are recommended affairs of the tongue likewise, and being kind and the likes and gentle to the people. and advising the people and so on and so forth, there are obligations of the tongue that must be performed. And likewise, there are affairs that are impermissible. There are prohibitions of the tongue. From the greatest prohibitions of the tongue is to use the tongue to supplicate and call on other than Allah. To supplicate and call on other than Allah. Or to make the statements of kufr, waliyadu billah. Statements of kufr, some of the people, they curse Allah. Some of the Muslims, they have claims to al-Islam and they'll curse the deen. If they become mad or angry, if they become upset, they'll curse the deen. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. And they'll curse, yani, subhanallah. And the religion in this manner, with her tongue, this is disbelief. This is a disbelief. To enter paradise, you have to guarantee you don't do that. You have to guarantee that you do testify and that to the good, and you speak that which is good, and you have to guarantee not to say the evil. And you have to think before you speak. And also, ma bayna rijlayhi, that which is between his two legs, meaning the private parts. At this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-man lahu al-jannah." I guarantee for him. The paradise. I guarantee for him the paradise. So therefore, a believer, he has to fulfill the right of his tongue. And if there are rights upon the tongue, a person that he's held accountable for by fulfilling the obligations that are upon him with regards to that. And likewise, leaving off the prohibitions and staying away from that with regards to the tongue, as well as the private parts, that a person, he will use them in that which is allowed for him. And that which is permissible for him only, and that he will refrain from using them in that which is impermissible and that which is not allowed. And the one who does this out of sincere faith, then he is guaranteed, he has a dhaman from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he went to paradise, that he went to paradise. And this is indication that these two affairs here, the issue of the tongue and the privates, they're major trials. There are major trials with regards to the tongue and the privates. A person, he's tried in this life. And from the trials of this life, rather from the major trials of this life, is the tongue and the private parts. A person, he's tried with these affairs. And if he's able to rectify himself and to check himself and to strive against himself, to correct his tongue and use it properly, and likewise his privates and use them properly in the realms of that which is legislated and allowed, then that which is after that will come in line for him, insha'Allah. If he can check his tongue and check his privates and the rest of the body parts, bithnillahi ta'ala, they will be upright for him and they will be good. They will be upright for him and they will be good. And so this is something that a believer, he's tried with in this life. This is something that a believer, he's tried with in this life. The author, he mentioned a number of narrations in the beginning of this chapter. After this, he mentioned the narration of Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi radiyallahu anhu. Qala kultu ya Rasulullah, ma akhwafu ma takhafu alayya. He said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you fear most for me? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa'akhada bilisani nafsihi. He took his own tongue, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma qala kuffa alayka hadha. And he said, after this, refrain this. And the author, he says, call it Tirmidhi, Hasanun Sahih. The Tirmidhi, he mentioned this hadith is Hasan Sahih. And this here is a hadith clearly collected by a Tirmidhi. And if you return to the wording of this hadith, you will find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, qala hadha. He didn't say, kuffa alayka hadha. Kuf alayka hadha, this wording here comes from the narration of Mu'adh, which is coming next. The kuf alayka hadha, this piece of this narration, it came from the next narration the author he mentioned, which is from the hadith of Mu'adh. Actually, in this narration here of At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he's asked, فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِ نَفْسِهِ فَقَالَ هَذَا, he took his own tongue, he said this. What do you fear most for me, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He took his own tongue like this and he said this. So here's another correction in the text here. This is another narration here from the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. Which number is this? And actually this wording here is not in the 40 hadith, but this or the origin of this narration from the hadith of Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi. Yani in the original hadith, he said, "Qultu ya Rasulullah, qala li fil Islami qawlan la as'alu anhu ahadin ghayrak." O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me some speech tell me something about Islam that I don't have to ask anybody else after you. And it will be very clear for me. I will not need any interpretation from anyone. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. Say, I believe in Allah, and then be upright. And this wording is in Sahih Muslim. In Sahih Muslim. But then the wording in Tirmidhi, it continues. After that, he said, Ya Rasulullah, مَا أَخْوَفُ مَا تَخَافُ عَلَيَّ. O Messenger of Allah, what do you fear most for me? At this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam أَخَذَ بِلِسَانِ نَفْسِهِ وَقَالَ هَذَا. He took his own tongue and he said this. So the origin of this narration is from the narration which is in the 40 hadith. قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ. Say, I believe in Allah, and then be upright. And what number was that? Number 21. Hadith number 21. The 40 hadith is very important to learn them, yani, and to memorize them and to know them. And we see here so far he's mentioned two of those narrations in this one chapter. If we read the next narration, he says, وَلَهُ وَلَهُ وَصَحَحَهُ عَنْ مُعَاذ. And he mentioned another narration of Mu'adh, which is the 29th hadith from the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. Likewise, he mentioned the first hadith and other narrations from the 40 hadith, an indication that the one who gave concern to learning the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi and learning them precisely and memorizing them well and understanding the meanings and the basic rulings that are derived from them, that he will have a much goodness and much khair with him. And we close with that and continue tomorrow inshallah from this point. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.